Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, back here on The Fan on a Saturday. We get you set for another week of football and fantasy football. And joining me right now does a great job at CBS Sports on CBSSports.com, and that's Dave Richard. Dave, how you been?
Evan, I'm doing great. I'm 8-1 in one of my leagues, and it's weird to be 8-1 when riding into Week 8, but we've played a couple of doubleheader weeks, and I swept those weeks.
Wait a second.
Better when you set one lineup and get two wins.
Wait a second. I'm not that familiar with this. So there's a way in which, what do you do? Before the week, you say this week counts twice? Is that what it is?
Well, what it is you have two different opponents in your league.
Oh.
16-team league, and we want everybody to be able to play each other. So for two of the weeks, you have two different opponents. So you set one lineup, but it goes against two different teams. And if you do a terrible job setting your lineup, you're going to get two losses.
Right.
And if you do a great job, you're probably going to get two wins.
I kind of love this. I actually kind of love this idea. So since you have 16 teams in the league, so what does that mean? You end up playing 15 games for the season, so you end up with 15 games on your record?
Correct.
Is that what?
That's
so,
right.
See, the
a little bit different than your typical fantasy league.
The geek in me. This is my first reaction to this idea, which I'm sure has been around. I'm just not familiar with it because I'm always in the, 12-team leagues or whatever, is I would want there to be 16 games so I could compare my record to a real NFL team's record. See, I like that.
That's cool, too, but then who do you play twice? That might just be a conundrum that your commissioner would have to figure out, but other than that, yeah, that would be kind of cool.
Yes, and speaking of commissioner,
I like that better. Look at this, we're changing fantasy football on the fly. This is amazing.
Well, wait, there's one other idea, and this is not my idea. So during the week, I host the show with Joe Beningo. He suggested that because quarterbacks who fall behind by so much in a game are almost given a benefit, right, because they could just keep throwing the ball downfield, they end up with big yardage, and they end up having better fantasy days, that there should be a win bonus, that if you win as a quarterback, you get some kind of bonus. Your thoughts?
Well, I don't mind that, and I've been in leagues where that's happened, and that's cool. We've bandied around the idea of having garbage time count for 50%. So in those situations where it's the fourth quarter, the game's over, you know who's going to win, you know who's going to lose, and the quarterback is still out there trying to put a touchdown on the board to cut the deficit from 24 to 17, that those points don't count as much because it's garbage time and because the defense they're going up against doesn't really care. They just want to get off the field in one piece. It's hard to kind of govern that as far as a commissioner goes. And, we see the sports as a ton of leagues that we just commission on our own for people who don't want to just play with their friends, they want to take on strangers, what have you. So that's kind of been the conundrum we've had is, well, what would officially constitute garbage time? And, it's kind of a tricky spot, but that kind of goes along with what Joe says.
Yeah. No, it's tough. You're right. I think that makes it the most difficult. How do you govern something like that? But it goes around the idea of we don't want to reward quarterbacks who are on crappy teams because they're able to throw the ball 50-55 times because their team sucks and they're down by 30 points. So it's tough. There's no perfect way, but I like the outside-the-box thinking that you're minimizing the points if it is garbage time. I like that.
Sure. And then the other issue is that usually those quarterbacks that are on garbage teams, they're not starting for their teams very long.
Right.
So they don't become fantasy assets for very long.
All right, let me get to a couple of things. First of all, we have had trades in the National Football League, which is odd. And one of them last week was the Carlos Hyde trade. He didn't suit up. He's going to play this week in London. Where do you kind of look at him right now? I mean, T.J. Yeldon's been playing. It doesn't look like Leonard Fournette's coming back anytime soon. How do you value Carlos Hyde going into what should be his Jacksonville debut?
Evan, what we've seen from Jacksonville without Leonard Fournette is T.J. Yeldon taking, right around 65% of the snaps. Last week was a little bit different because they were thin at the position. But that's what he's done, and he's been okay with it. Little touchdown reliant. He's caught a touchdown, believe it or not, Yeldon has, in three of his last four games. My hunch is that Carlos Hyde's going to come in and make that a little bit more of a 50-50 split. And that's kind of what Hyde did in Cleveland. It didn't bear out that way in terms of carries. He was the leader in the clubhouse when it came to carries. But when it came to third downs and the no-huddle offense, the two-minute drill, what have you, Carlos Hyde was nowhere to be found. So my guess is that Jacksonville will use him the same way that Cleveland did, and they've got a nice running back in T.J. Yeldon that they can complement with him, give him a couple more breathers. If I had to ballpark it against Philadelphia, I'd say Hyde would be around 15 carries, and he would be touchdown-dependent for fantasy, so I think he's more of a flex, whereas T.J. Yeldon probably right around 6 carries and 5 catches, somewhere in that range. But he might do more with those numbers than Hyde will with his because of his versatility.
Give me a running back that maybe you'd go after right now, because we had some running back injuries. Sony Michel, not as serious. He's going to miss probably a few weeks. Bilal Powell's done. You know, I happen to be a fantasy owner of Bilal Powell. He's done for the year, and hopefully his career will resume. Who is a good under-the-radar back now to target if you've suffered from some of these injuries?
If you can go to your waiver wire in your league and look up a guy named Raheem Mostert, I would start there. That is San Francisco's new back. And San Francisco, like Jacksonville, they're going to use multiple running backs as long as they can until one guy steps up. We thought it would be Breida. Breida can't stay healthy. We're not expecting him to play against Arizona. This is a great matchup for Mostert. The Cardinals are terrible against the run. They've allowed a touchdown to a running back in every single game this season, and Mostert's been averaging a wicked number. It's over 6 yards per carry through his limited playing time. I think Mostert is actually going to be a good number two fantasy running back this week, and he might only get around 13, 14, maybe 15 touches because he'll catch the ball a little bit. But what he does with it, based on what we've seen and based on what that Cardinals run defense looks like, should be really good. Now, if you're in a PPR league, there's another back I want to tell you about. His name is Jalen Richard. It's spelled like Richard, but it sounds like Richard. It's like a fancy version of my last name.
Right.
He's Oakland's passing downs running back. He's caught 6 passes in 3 of his last 4 games. And every week, Oakland's going to trail from this point forward. And there's no more Marshawn Lynch. There's no more Amari Cooper on that team. So the targets are going to have to be split a little bit more, and that'll help Richard. And the carries will be split a little bit more, and that'll help him too. So those are two running backs out in the Bay Area that fantasy owners can go to. And if you're in a pinch this week, Mostert is the one to go with.
Yeah. We're talking to Dave Richard of CBS. Are you buying Marlon Mack? He had a huge week last week against Buffalo. I mean, everybody did. They crushed him 37-5. He had a good week the week before that. He didn't do much as a rookie. Are you buying that Marlon Mack is blossoming right now?
Well, the big key with him has been and always will be his health. And that's always the problem. He showed up on the injury report this week. He didn't practice on Thursday. He was limited on Wednesday. And then on Friday, he came back with a full practice. My guess is that Marlon Mack will play against Oakland. I think it's a good matchup for him. And Indianapolis is kind of desperate at running back, but at the same time, I wonder if in the back of their coach's mind, they're worried about overworking him. He suffers another injury. It's an ankle that's troubled him this week, and he ends up going on the injury list for a couple of games, and that's not what the Colts need. I think you'll see him continue to play well, but I don't know if he's going to get a ton of carries from week to week. I think he's somebody that you're going to have to hope that he gets a bunch of catches, which we haven't quite seen from him yet this season, or find a touchdown. Now against Oakland, that's pretty possible. So I like him as a number two fantasy running back this week.
With the Jets, we are not very confident here in New York, and a part of the reason we're not confident is they're just so banged up with the injuries that they're dealing with. And Sam Darnold doesn't have a lot of guys to throw to. I mentioned the Bilal Powell injury. Who do you think is going to benefit from, you know, Anunu has been out for a few weeks now. Terrell Pryor is gone. Who is the receiver? Because last week, their leading receiver was Trenton Cannon, which I don't think is going to continue. Which receiver do you think is going to benefit from the injuries that we've seen with this team in your mind?
Well, I can tell you that the defense that will benefit will be the Chicago Bears.
Well, we get that.
A lot of people are going to start them against the Jets, and that makes sense. I like what I've seen from Chris Herndon, the rookie tight end, who over the past couple of weeks has started to pick up the pace a little bit. Doesn't play every single snap. He only played, I want to say, about a third of the snaps last week, but he had 7 targets from Sam and 4 catches for 42 yards with a touchdown. The week before that, he had even fewer targets, 2 of them, but he caught them both for 56 yards, including a 32-yard touchdown. This is a guy who's getting involved in the offense, and without a lot of great pass catchers on the outside, Darnold can just check it down, and he can use Herndon kind of the same way he used Cannon late last week. And I think that that's someone who can at least help move the chains a little bit. Chicago's had a tough time defending the pass in general. They are much better against the run. And Herndon could get into the act a little bit. Outside of him, you know, Rishard Matthews just got signed by the team. We'll see what he can do. I know it's a short week,
right.
But if he's active, he's someone who could certainly contribute. And Jermaine Kearse had 2 targets last week, no catches, after having 9 catches the week before. I think the Jets have no choice but to lean on him. The problem is that they have been using him as a slot receiver. I don't know if they're going to kick him outside and see what he can do or keep him in the slot and make it comfortable for Darnold. But they're going to need to use a quick-hitting pass offense, kind of like what we've seen in Oakland. And that'll help at least move the chance. It probably won't help with touchdowns on the board.
So let me give a plug to your article because I find it interesting. So you write, you know, kind of a confidence meter column. Is that a fair description where you will put a number next to each key player in games on your confidence level on starting that guy? Is that a fair description of what you do, Dave?
You could describe it better to my editors than I can. That was fantastic.
Well, thank you. And what I find, I have like 3 questions based on this. Number one, and I'm going to link it on my Twitter account because people should read it. It's interesting. So you rank it 1 through 10, but you're very specific with the numbers. So it's not just I'm giving the guy a 3, I'm giving the guy a 7. You give guys 7.2, 8.1. So before I continue, how the hell do you come up with that specific of a number? Are you just literally pulling it out of your derriere?
Well, you know, sometimes you got to do a little bit of that. Sometimes I don't like to think of it as the derriere. That's not my best feature, and neither is my gut, but that's what I go off of sometimes. Is you'll crunch the numbers, you'll watch the film, you'll see these players, and you'll still go, well, I'm not sure. And at that point, that's where confidence kicks in and how good you feel about a player. And it can be based on past performance. It can be based on the matchup. That's what that number really is. And the best part about that column, Evan, is that people can go and they can say, all right, well, who do I start between Mark Ingram and Latavius Murray?
Right.
Just use that as a random example this week. And you'll see that Mark Ingram has a slightly higher number than Latavius Murray. So you don't have to go fishing around an article hoping to find one of their names. You actually need to find both of their names. Instead, you know that both of their names are going to be in the article. You'll find the one with the higher number, and you start that player, and you go on with your life. That's what that's designed for. We have one for non-PPR leagues and another one for PPR leagues, and they're both designed to help people make fast lineup decisions.
And you know what you did? So you're going to make Tommy Lugauer, who produces me on Saturday, very happy because he had to make a brutal decision this week, right? He was deciding between, should I start Adrian Peterson, right? Should I start Adrian Peterson against the Giants, or should I start Lamar Miller? Now, Lamar Miller had a nice night on Thursday night, so he's all upset about it. But according to your rankings, he made the right decision. You have a higher confidence rating in AP than Lamar Miller, and we'll see what Adrian does against the Giants. He may go rush for 250 yards for all we know. So that's got to make Lugie feel good.
That would be great for his lineup, and I think that Adrian Peterson, I don't know if he's got 250-yard potential, but
no.
Let's take half of that, 125 yards, throw a touchdown in there. We're talking about a Giants defense. They ranked 20th in fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs coming into the week, and that was before they traded their best defensive lineman. And now Harrison's gone. I don't know how they're going to be able to keep up with Adrian Peterson, and Washington knows it. They've got a good bullying offensive line, and you're going to see Adrian Peterson have a very good game on Sunday.
I one of the games this weekend that I'm looking forward to, and I picked it in our weekly picks, is Tampa Bay-Cincinnati. And I think the Bengals are going to bounce back. But more than that, I really think this is going to be a game in which we're going to see a ton of points. Do you feel that way? Are you confident in maybe both sides? If you are kind of going back and forth on certain Buccaneers, certain Bengals, would you lean towards starting the guys thinking we're going to get a lot of points in that game?
Yeah, some games just kind of write themselves and analyze themselves. And we've seen it this year from Tampa Bay where they can't run the ball worth a darn. And their passing game is fantastic. They've got 4 different wide receivers that Jameis Winston and before him, Ryan Fitzpatrick, really leaned on. And you look at Cincinnati's defense, they allow a slew of big plays. They've got injuries, especially in their back 7. I think you're going to see Tampa Bay take advantage. And on the other side of the ball, Cincinnati is coming off of an embarrassing loss. They're at home. They're going to bounce back. And Tampa Bay's pass defense has been terrible. Their linebacking core is all beat up. You're going to see Andy Dalton have a great game. So this is going to be a track meet, back and forth, lots of points scored. And when there's a game like that, you'll want to start as many fantasy players as you can from it. So everybody from A.J. Green to Mike Evans all the way down to, you know, Johnny-come-latelys like Tyler Boyd and Chris Godwin are going to be good fantasy plays this week.
Give me a good defense. If you're a week-to-week defensive person, give me a good defense you like on Sunday.
The Patriots. If you can still find them, they're playing Buffalo, but they don't play on Sunday, Evan.
Yeah, Monday, right.
But Buffalo's offense is just laughably bad. The next time the Jets or the Giants feel bad about their situation, they can go look at Buffalo, and they'll feel even a little bit better, at least, because Buffalo's offense right now, Derek Anderson is their starting quarterback. Their best wide receiver runs a 4.8 40. It's just a terrible situation, and the Patriots should take full advantage. If you can't get them, look for the Steelers, look for the Cardinals, look for the Seahawks, and look for the Redskins. I think they're all going to do well. Redskins, of course, playing against the Giants.
In the main league I'm in, because I thought the same thing. Me and you were thinking alike. I'm a week-to-week guy. I put my claim in on the Patriots, and we have a money waiver system. So you bid, you know, money to the highest bid. The Patriots were bid at $45 by somebody. Somebody was so into getting the Patriots, which is a big number. I mean, you're using a big part of your budget to get a defense for 1 week. So I think people are thinking along your lines that, oh, my God, the Patriots against the Bills, what a sexy matchup. And that's why they were damn expensive, that's for sure.
Well, how much budget do you start off with in that league? Is it $1,000 or $100?
I'm trying to remember what it is. I think it's actually $400, believe it or not. It's a high number.
Yeah. Okay, so that's not quite as bad. Because if it's like a $100 budget, then that's just absolutely
crazy. Yeah, then that's crazy, yeah.
I do think they made a mistake spending that much because after Buffalo, they play the Packers.
Right.
How are you going to feel about starting the Patriots defense against Aaron Rodgers and
company? You're not.
Sunday night. You're not going to feel good about that at all. And then you're going to, you might, and maybe this might be seeing the forest through the trees, if you know what I'm saying. Patriots have Buffalo this week and then the Packers after that. And then they've got Tennessee, then a bye, and then the Jets. So three of their next four opponents, I think the DST is going to look pretty good. Maybe that's what they're thinking is they're going to use the Patriots DST for the next month or so. They'll take their lumps against the Packers, but they'll put up great numbers against the lowly Titans and the Jets defense, or Jets offense, rather.
Now, David, you have a very important job. There's been a lot of controversy around the offices of WFAN lately because a fantasy trade that was agreed upon, was done, was vetoed by our commissioner. And I'm not involved in the trade. All right, so everybody listening, I have no dog in this fight. I don't really care. I'm an owner who didn't have a problem with the trade. I want to throw it at you because you're an independent mind, and you could tell me, hey, that was a ripoff. Your commissioner did a good job, or your commissioner is crooked. The trade was Sterling Shepard, Trenton Cannon, so a Giant and a Jet, plus O.J. Howard for Andrew Luck and Philip Lindsay. Do you believe that that trade was so bad it needed to be vetoed?
Let me start by saying this. I don't believe that any trade between two grown adults should ever be vetoed so long as that there's no obvious collusion as part of the deal. So if this was a trade made between, say, two relatives, then I would get a little, I'd give it the side eye. Or if this was between two guys that go out to lunch all the time and maybe one was going to buy lunch for the other guy if he accepted the deal, then maybe I'd get a little nervous. But I would never veto a trade between two consenting people in a fantasy league. I'm willing to give people the benefit of the doubt that they're doing what they think is best for their team. Now, that being said, that is really one of the worst trades I've ever heard of in my life because Andrew Luck by himself might be worth as much as the other side of that trade. You're throwing in Philip Lindsay as well, and at this point, Lindsay looks like he's going to be the top running back in Denver for, I don't know, the next couple of games at least. Who knows? Maybe he'll earn the job and be the starter for the rest of the season. So that's a pretty horrible trade. I'd love to be on the side that got Luck and Lindsay, but if I were the commissioner of that league and I was sure that no collusion was involved, I'd let the trade stand.
All right. That's usually the way I work, because I'm not a commissioner in a football league, but I'm a commissioner in a baseball league, and I have the same attitude. Unless I feel – because you can't – this is my saying, and you should print this on a T-shirt. You can't legislate stupid, you know? If you're dumb and you make a stupid trade, who am I to save you from yourselves? You know, you have to learn the hard way. So unless, I completely agree, unless I believe there's something smelly going on, something crooked, something rotten in Denmark, I'm like you. I say, hey, let the stupid be stupid, you know?
Yeah, we had a trade like that go down in one of our leagues where Kerryon Johnson was traded for Michael Crabtree, and no one suspected collusion by any stretch. But the person who was getting Crabtree really needed wide receiver help, and the only guy that he could give up to get in trade was Kerryon Johnson, so he felt like he needed to make the move. Do we agree with the move? No. But do we think it was collusion and so wrong that it needed to be vetoed? Also no. And we'll let time play out. So far, it's been 1 week, and Kara's been better, but you never know. Crabtree could end up scoring this week and evening the odds a little bit.
Yeah, no, you're right. Dave, excellent work. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join me, my friend.
No problem, Evan. Good luck in your leagues this weekend.
Thank you. You too. Dave Richards, CBS. We're coming right back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.